الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. My dear respected brothers and sisters, inshallah, a quick review of what we did last time. As we know, these are some of the very basic things about Salat. Now, when we hear them, okay, we'll say to ourselves, yes, I know this. But it helps out a lot just to go over it. You'll notice that if you went over the rulings of Salat, then the next Salat you pray will have a difference. You'll have more focus. You'll have, okay, I heard this. It's all refreshing. So even if we know the things, it's beneficial to go over them. And Salat for a Muslim, we know, it's the most important tool to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزَعِلَ الصَّلَاةِ Rasulullah s.a.w.'s habit in his seerat was any problem that came up, he would run towards the Salat. Now, if there's a problem with the Salat, where else is he going to, an individual would run to, right? So that is one of the strongest source we have to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we talked about the categories of Salat, Farz, Wajib, Sunnah Muakkada, Ghair Muakkada, Nafil. Then the beginning and ending time of every prayer, from Fajr, then Zuhr, Asr, the sunset timings, and Makruh Awqat, all of this is done. So if we need some more clarification on these matters, we should go ahead and talk about that before we go forward. Praying Nafil and Makruh times, we've discussed that already. And for the sisters, we had the postures up on the screen. And so if they need help with that, they can write the question and send them. But it was pretty simple, alhamdulillah, that everyone was understanding. We also had the structure of the Salat done here. So a few volunteers, they showed how to stand, how to do ruku, how to do sujood, and the whole Salat. So if the structure is corrected, it helps a person focus. Where should I put my eyes? Where should I put my hands? Should I close my fingers? Should I open my fingers? So that kind of stuff, alhamdulillah, we've completed. So we'll move forward, inshallah. Somebody had asked about the witr. The witr timing is the same as the Isha time. So after Isha, then the witr time starts all the way to the end of Isha time. So if Fajr time enters, then witr is no longer allowed to perform. Now you can perform qada, but it's not going to be done on time. So the sin is there of missing the witr prayer. That's why that when we ask the question, should we keep it as the last prayer? Then only if we know that we're going to stay up, that's when that option is there. And there have been people of both types. They would pray at the end, and there were also many awliya Allah would pray before going to sleep. And they would say that we don't know about death. What if we don't get a chance to pray our witr? So they would just go ahead and pray and sleep. So both options are there. So we should know our habit. And similarly, that if we are going to sleep very late, it's better to go ahead and pray and then sleep. This way, then you can sleep up to the time of Fajr, and you won't have the worry of missing your witr. So today is a very simple lesson, of course, is about the arkan and the sharait of Salat. What are the sharait of Salat? Those things that are needed in order for a person's Salat to be correct. The prerequisites. Before we can even stand and start the whole structure of Salat, what are those things that are needed? And those are necessary. There is no way to get around those things. So we already completed in our session of Kitab al-Taharat the point that how a person should take purity. So the first point in that is, now some of us have memorized these faraid and we say, Namaz ke 13 faraid hain. We've heard this, even in Jamaat we go over this, right? But they're divided into two different portions. There are the sharait and then there are the arkan. The sharait are those things, and usually in almost every ibadat that you will find it. Sharait are those things that are needed before you even start the ibadat. And arkan are those things that are needed within the ibadat for it to be valid. So we're talking about the sharait. Seven sharait. Number one, taharat of the body. Now, in detail, we have already gone over this, that how should a person purify his body. So if ghusl is necessary, then of course you cannot pray your salat. If wudu is necessary, then of course you cannot pray your salat. So the body has to be purified. That means that if there was hadath-e-akbar or asghar, and we've already explained this, that hadath-e-akbar, can anybody tell me what that was? Hadath-e-akbar, the bigger type of filth. If I'm in a state of hadath akbar, what would that mean? Yes, ghusl is necessary. So I have to take a shower before I can get to salat or touching the Quran or any of that. Similarly, hadath asghar. Hadath asghar kya cheez hai? Ji, minor. So it's basically wudu. When the person uses the bathroom, now he's in the state of hadath asghar. When he goes ahead and does wudu, then he has removed that hadath from himself. Okay. So when we're saying cleaning the body, hadath akbar and asghar, both of them should be removed. Number two, taharat of the dress. Now, do we remember from the chapter of najasa that how much najasa, if it's on the clothes, we cannot pray in those clothes? Ji, okay. Yes, it's an estimate taken from different narrations, but the scholars of fiqh have said that it should be to the amount of the, if you would try to hold the water into your palm, right, the center area of the palm, if that much najasat, whether it's scattered, even if it's in different areas, but it equals to that much, then in those clothes we cannot pray. And if it's najasat khafifa, which is the urination of birds, right? The defecation of birds, that's hard to for a person to avoid. It can be found on cars, it can go on person's clothes. So that there's a bigger limit of flexibility there. So for that, the whole of clothing, 1/4 of the clothing has to be covered with that in order for those clothes to be invalid in salat. So in any way whatsoever, if any najasat comes on the body, best way is on the clothes, best way is to keep a separate pair of clothes for salat. That's how when we prepare for salat, when we dress up for salat, that importance is there, that feeling is there. And if we just stand up in our pajamas and in the way we sleep, then you won't feel the focus. So everything that is of sunnah, everything that brings husn into the ibadah, that makes it ahsan, right? And that's how the test is, that now how much ibadah we are doing, but how beautiful we make our ibadah. Facing towards the qibla. Now this too was discussed already, that when a person is about to start his salat, he cannot pray until his face is towards the qibla. Now, if it's a situation that he doesn't know the qibla, so the scholars of fiqh have said that taharri, which means that this person has to try his best to look around, look for all the signs and look for different options of what he has with himself to find out the qibla. And once he's exhausted all of his sources, then he goes ahead and prays in the direction that he feels is closest to the qibla, then his salat will be okay. Now, after the salat, if somebody tells him that the qibla wasn't that way, then he doesn't have to repeat it. But in the case where he prayed, and during the prayer, somebody comes and tries to fix him or tells him that this qibla is a different way, then that person should go ahead and turn him towards the qibla. So during the salat, he would have to turn because the information has come into him. And scholars have even said that in trains, this happens a lot. When we travel in trains in Pakistan, India, that if you have a qibla in one way, and sometimes the train turns, then it is important for the person who is praying to know which way the qibla has just turned. So it's that's why practically I've seen many scholars that they would look out the window before they would start the salat and see which way the masajid are located. There are small masjids in villages, and they'll look at the minbar side, and it shows that that's the way of the qibla. So there's different ways. You have to use enough logic and reason, and inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opens up. Ji. Yes. So the question is, how much can we be off the qibla? So first we have to try our best to be accurate. This, all of these flexibilities come after the efforts are done. It shouldn't be that, okay, it's somewhere on this side, I'll just pray. I'll try my best to find out which way it is exactly. And then after that, we've tried our best and everything has been used. All the efforts have been done. Mashura has been made with people, experts on that field. And now, if you're slightly off, some scholars have went up to 45 degrees. They have given the permission that even if you're off to 45 degrees, your salat will be okay. But some have said that even in this time and age, we shouldn't be that off because we have a lot more sources. Ji. Yes, I was going to get to that. Right. So some masajid, like one of the masjids we went to in Danville, they were having this problem. So in these type of situations, the people have to unite, and they have to come under this that there is flexibility. If I say that no, this is 31 degrees off, and the other brothers are saying 30 degrees off, now there's not a point of argument. That's not a point. So Rasulullah ﷺ, when he, remember, Medina is north of Makkah, right? So when Rasulullah ﷺ pointed towards the Qibla, he just said that it's between these two. He did not say that about degrees. He did not say exactly it's in this direction. He said it's in between these two sides. So which it gave a big flexibility that, okay, you're still okay if you're facing that way. Now, if we have more sources with us, we should exhaust all those ways and find out the best. And 45 degrees off is still allowed. So it shouldn't be done purposely. But if we know that, oh, I prayed Salat, and then it was this much, it was like this, that much is okay. Usually, no scholar will tell you that you should repeat the prayer. Did I cover the, is that the question? Yes, this is in the case where he doesn't know the Qibla. When masajid are built, usually this is done, the tahari is done. I'm talking about like we're in the jungle or we're in the wilderness. What's my responsibility to find out the Qibla? If a masjid is already built and we have an idea that, okay, the management did not do a good job putting the direction correctly, so that should be brought up. Remember, this has to be a unified decision. It cannot be done that I feel it's wrong and the rest of the committee of the masjid is saying it's right. It shouldn't be like that. If we feel the masjid is in the wrong direction, then we get them together and then have the tahari done in a unified way. This is what I'm getting to. Yeah. Right. We can use that, yes. Yes, very good point. That's why I'm saying to use all the effort. And I think once you bring it up to the masjid that, okay, you're off this much, then that is a point of concern that they should get together and check it out again. So the person himself should see his options. Yes, if he is alone and he's not in a masjid, he's in the masjid, but according to his, the tahari is saying it's wrong. But the majority of that community, obviously, they built the masjid in a direction that they felt is the Qibla. If you're speaking about a particular masjid, then yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if they're not ready to, a masjid should be open to this. If somebody says Masjid Nur Qibla is wrong, then we would have to sit with him and discuss how wrong is it, right? So if somebody's saying, no, we don't want to discuss on this matter, or you have to pray even if it's wrong, that's wrong then. That would be wrong. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that because we have enough masajid now, he should not go to this place because it feels like there's a bigger problem there. Because the Qibla is one of the faraiz of Salat. And if you have valid reason that it's wrong and you have the proof there. So the committee of the masjid should take concern. If they're ignoring this, it could be for many different reasons. I'm not sure. Gee.
Not exactly what you mean.
Yes.
Now,
when you make a masjid, already suppose we have an
existing sum, or an existing bill, you're saying that this is a masjid you're making. But now, if you just go for a 5 degree off, so the whole thing.
But I just said
45
degrees.
No, I'm just saying, somebody comes up and says, okay, oh, this is just the 5 degree off. Now, I cannot just pray a string. I should make a, you know, I see some new people come over here. This one string, he just stand like this. He even beat the imam. Just stand like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that in that kind of situation, like this 5 degrees. You know, because when you make it, if the whole thing is already there, and now you are making in the existing place or making something, it's easier to make it. So, is that okay?
But what is the question?
No, I'm just saying that even on this month, some people can wait. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's a little off.
Yes.
In the compass and everything, you see the sir exactly. But how this masjid was made? Because it's already existing. And it's an existing masjid that made. So even if it is a little bit off, is it okay or not?
Yes. So we are going to see how much is it off, right? You brought this concern. Let's say you're the person. So you're going to bring it to the imam, the committee. They'll say, okay, this person has proved that our masjid is off track. Okay, then they're going to get together and see how much are we off. If it's 5 degrees, isn't within. I have said that scholars have given flexibility up to 45. So it gives us the idea that this is not something to argue or fight over. Right? So this is what I'm saying. So if the jamaat is going on, and the reason, and this person is, 5 degrees, I'm just going to turn this way, that way. Now you're causing disunity, where Rasulullah ﷺ did not make it so strict. So that person is wrong now. But he has proof that this masjid is off more than 45 degrees. Now he should not pray and he should bring it up. And an open masjid, a masjid that is, if they're honest and they're looking for the truth, they're going to take that into consideration. If you say Masjid Noor is off more than 45 degrees, then we're not going to have our next salat until we have clarified this masjid. It's a serious masjid. It's one of the faraiz, right? So without that, Qibla being there, our salat will not be valid. So we would have to come down to the question that how much is it off? Okay? If one person even says that, I was giving the example of Danville because they were having this issue that one person comes there and he prays way off than the whole jamaat. He prays in a different direction. So everyone now is having trouble because of this, and he's one of the senior of that locality. So now everyone's having confusion that, okay, why does he do it this way? And nobody's listening to him. So if there is personal, whatever history is involved there, that they don't want to work together, but we have to open our hearts and mind and look to unity, bring everyone together. If Masjid Noor is 5 degrees off, then everyone should unite on it. There shouldn't be one or two person saying that my phone shows 2 degrees off, my phone shows 5 degrees off. We'll never get to 100%, and that's not even required, right? So these are something that if we have some masjid in mind and we know this is a problem coming up, then we should sit with the masjid committee or ask the imam. Usually, if it was for me, for Masjid Noor, I would not do my salah, the next salah, if it's off for more than 45 degrees.
Yeah, there's two methods. Okay, in Hiran there is one masjid called Southeast. Southeast. It's known as Southeast masjid because there is the space Southeast. Okay, and it's happening. Even over here in Springfield, you go to towards the train station there, Huntington. There is a masjid there, and there is a few people there. They are of the same thinking. That this is not the right direction. The southeast should be the right direction. So they are people. So that's a totally different thing.
Yes, if it's that much of a difference, ulama ikram have to be contacted. Again, any masla that comes up, scholars have to be put forward. This is your field, you tell us, we'll follow. Right? If every person is, again, he's doing his research, you'll never come on to unity. And in these masajid, I'm not really sure who the ulama are. Or if we want, we should reach out to them. If there are major masail going on there, then yes, we should reach out to them. But if there are examples of people doing many things in deen, like we cannot get everyone to follow what we're doing, right? At least it comes down to my salat, that I'm going to Masjid Noor. If they're off, are they too off, or is it okay? And if it's okay, then I should not bother with this issue again and again. So that's. I hope that clarifies this, because it's not a point of argument. Whatever we can do in our ability, if we feel the masjid there is doing completely off, then we can come here. Whatever we feel that is correct, then we should go ahead. Then it comes down to the scholars when it gets a lot serious then. So facing towards the Qibla. Now this, what the example I was giving was for when a person is alone in the wilderness, so what does he have to do? He doesn't know. So tahari, he should do tahari. If another person sees him praying in the wrong direction, he should go ahead and fix him. Within the salat, he should turn. Covering of the satr. Now we know this already. For men, the satr is from where to where? Yes, so from the navel to the knee, the navel is not included, the knee is included. Okay, but scholars have said that if it's right under the navel, so that it's better to cover the navel because you don't want to go underneath that. This is in the case that a person doesn't have a shirt, right? He doesn't have a shirt or he's so poor, he doesn't have enough to cover his body. What's the limit? So then we should know that the satr is that much. For the female, the entire body except the face and hands to the wrist. The entire body means the body should be covered, the hair should be covered. And our sisters that are listening, this is a point of very, very importance that we have to know that when we're putting a scarf on our head, that it has to cover all of our head. It's not like that one piece of hair coming out from here or there, or the different type of scarf that are going on now. And similarly, the clothing. Now, covering the body means that clothing that are modest, they shouldn't be so tight, you cannot fulfill the arkan of salat, or it you can basically see the figure of the body, right? So these type of things, of course, the whole mizaj of shariat is against that. So then, of course, in salat, it will not be allowed. So it is important that for salat, the most modest way, and we should present ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji. Last time, a lot of questions were coming. We were unable to finish this. So we're going to stop at 8:30 because the sisters, they come out and at night is inappropriate for them to be out of the home for too late. So if it's just related to this, then yes. So no long comments with me. Ji. Yes. Yes, that's a good question. For in the Hanafi fiqh, no. But in the Shafi fiqh, there, the feet have to be covered too. So it's a matter of difference in the fiqh, but in the Hanafi fiqh, not the feet. Okay? Pura, they don't have to cover. Ji. Okay? So then we go down to the arkan. Now I mentioned the sharait. Sharait are before the salat, right? And arkan are within the ibadat. The first, takbir-e-tahreema, what is that? We all know this. Yes, the takbir that makes everything haram. We cannot talk to anyone. We cannot look around. And that's what takbir-e-tahreema means. So once the takbir-e-tahreema is done, now before, the niyat, okay, covering the satr. Niyat, intention for the salat. Making the intention, the muqtadi should also make the intention that I'm following this imam. This is something we forget. Again and again, we have to remind ourselves, in the jamaat, when we are praying, our niyat should be that I'm behind this imam. It shouldn't, when we come in and we just start right away, this is discouraged because our mind should be there as well, with our body. What salat am I praying? Where am I praying? I'm behind the imam. And if we know that in our knowledge, you don't have to say it verbally. You don't have to put in words, right? So niyat is basically iradatul qalb. It is the intention that comes up in the heart. So, jay.
Sometimes people say with their work and praying Dhuhr, okay, but this is a time for Asr. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, or sometimes I think, I'm praying Asr,
but I'm saying
with the mouth,
so
which one will be counted?
Is there
anything like that? Saying something?
So you're thinking something and saying something?
Yeah. So suppose that I'm here, I'm praying Dhuhr, mm-hmm. And I'm praying Dhuhr, and I'm praying Asr.
Okay, saying from the mouth is not established from Shariat. There is no basis of saying it from the mouth. So we should, in our mind, it should be there is no saying. There is only the heart. So we're gonna base ruling on what the irada is, right? It came out wrong. That's a different thing. But if we have this problem of saying things that we are not thinking of, that we should not say. You can agree. Adat bani hui hai. First of all, that should not happen because we're in the masjid, right? You know what time of salat? What? Am I saying something different?
Now I'm praying Isha prayer, but I'm thinking about Maghrib prayer. So what do you think?
So by thinking, do you mean that you're thinking about what happened in Maghrib prayer?
No. I'm thinking that I'm praying the Maghrib, but really I'm praying Isha.
You're making intention for Maghrib?
I'm praying Isha and praying now, and I'm thinking that I'm praying Maghrib.
Ji.
This is my history. I'm praying in the Maghrib, but actually I'm at Isha time,
I'm
praying behind me. So, what is the wrong
here? You made the wrong niyat, yes. You would have to start again. Make intention again.
No, I'm just saying, no, For me, it's gonna happen. Like, this push is
like in your mind, the whole time you're praying Maghrib?
Yeah, like,
yeah, so this is why it's for so many.
Gigi. But actually praying really Isha. So I have to pray again.
Gigi. Or you can even break and then start again. Yes, yes. This is what average people do. That when you're leaving from your home and you know you're going to pray Maghrib, so you don't have to come here and say it in words, right? Then you can come and just say, Allahu Akbar, and you're good, right? But in your mind, from your home, you're saying, I'm going for Zohar, and it's actually Maghrib time. So there's a problem, right? So niyat, it comes down to a basic thing is that in the intention, we should also add the fact that, yes, I'm behind the imam. That is also part of the niyat. Performing salat at prescribed times, yes. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. This is from the Quran, so no masjid has the right to say that we can pray this salat before the time. This is not allowed at all, and we should try to avoid that. If this type of masala comes, that if it's not time, then no. Even the azan, if it's done out of time, it has to be done again in the time. So is that clear? Ji. Yes, including Juma. Ji. Yes, yes. Yes, this is one of the masnoon du'as, which means that I'm facing towards the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Yes, it's good. We can read that. Is it necessary? Is it arkan or sharaid? No. Okay? So, when we read that in that recitation, it doesn't say with salat. It doesn't say behind the imam. It doesn't say any of that. So, we are taught as kids that main Kaaba Sharif ki tarah muh karta hu, asr ka Allah ke waste, all of that. That was made as an exercise by scholars that, okay, so people don't have this problem that they're saying something, thinking something. Okay, by saying it, they're... So, well, now that question is basically that while traveling, can we combine prayers? Now, combining prayers, again, it's a matter of fiqh. According to the Hanafi fiqh, you can delay one salat, and the other salat you can pray to its earliest time. But each time, each salat is in its time. So, Maghrib, you're praying right before Isha enters, and then you wait 2 minutes and Isha is entered. Now, you're going to pray Isha. So, it seems like you just combine two, but each salat is in its time. That's the only way that it works for the Hanafi fiqh. Yes, other fuqaha from the other schools have given this, that if it's this condition, if the weather's bad, if it's traveling, how bad it is, it should, they have extreme conditions for that too. So even if we follow another fiqh, in most cases you cannot combine, in most cases. In traveling, yes, that is there, you'll find that people do combine, but in a Hanafi fiqh, we should not. Okay? Okay. Performing salat in prescribed times. Okay, so the satr number two that we just talked about is covered. What are the compulsory acts? Now we're talking about the arkan. Takbir tahlima, qiyam. Qiyam, what does that mean? The standing position. We did the whole position here. So when a person has the qudrat to stand and he sits, now he's missing an arkan. And now he has to what? Pray again. He missed the farz. Now you cannot, there's no way of compensating through sajda sahu or any other way. We have to go ahead and pray again. In situations where you cannot, the ability is lost, is a different situation. You're on the plane, they don't allow you to stand and pray. So in that case, you have to sit and pray. Now, even in that case, scholars have said when the ability comes back, he has to repeat the prayer. That means when he gets to a place where he can pray standing, then he should repeat those prayers. But he will not get the sin because at that time the ability wasn't there. So we should go ahead and still pray. Sitting, we still pray. Even if the Qibla is not there, we still pray. At that time, the time should not pass and I didn't pray the Salat. It shouldn't be this way, right? And we shouldn't leave the time out. So we prayed it, and now that's to dissolve ourselves from the sin. After that, when we get to a home or a stop, then we should go ahead and make that Salat up again. Ji. Nahin, agar ghar ja ke us namaz ko pura kar rahe hain, to usko qasar hi pura karenge. ठीक है हां उसको उसी तरह पूरा करना है इसी तरह अगर वो नमाज छूट भी गई हो तो वो कजा उसकी उसी तरह होगी जिस तरह अदा के वक्त थी ठीक है सो इन सफर वी मिस ज़ोहर असर वी गॉट होम नाउ वी आर नॉट गोना प्रे ज़ोहर असर कंप्लीट वी आर गोना मेक इट कसर बट विद द नियत ऑफ कजा ठीक है Right. بالکل. تو آپ کے ایک طرف نمازیں تیزی سے آتی ہیں اور دوسری طرف بہت دیر سے ایک ایک نماز آتی ہیں. سو اٹ ریئلی وین یو گو بوتھ ویز دین یو نوٹس دیٹ اٹ جسٹ ایڈز اپ ٹو بینگ دی سیم. بٹ وائل یو آر گوئنگ کوئکلی کوئکلی صلات ول کم. سو ا پرسن who's regular in salat should know that, okay, now how much time has passed. As the people look around, sometimes for fajr you can even open the window and find out that it's fajr time. So there is many ways, and now even the qibla, in many of the airlines they tell you where the qibla is, right? Qiraat, reciting at least 3 ayat or 1 long ayat. 3 small ayats, inna atainakal kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shanika walabtar. If I've done that much, then I'm good to go. That's the least amount. Long ayats can be many examples, like in suratul we find in suratul Fath, Muhammadur Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu ashidda wa 'ala al-kuffar, all the way to the end. So now that's one ayat. Now it's enough, it's long enough that if 3 could have been recited in that time, it covers. So that much of a big ayat is allowed. Okay, ruku, to bow down. Now we did how the ruku should be done, we've already covered that. Now all of these things without one of this, the salat is not valid. There's no way to compensate. Both the sajdas, that's both. So for if it's a 2 rakat prayer, then dono rakat mein dono sajde farz hain. Qaida akhira, this is the last qaida that we sit in. If there is 2 rakat prayer, then there's only 1 qaida. If there is 4 rakat prayer or 3 rakat prayer, you'll have 2 qaidas coming. Qaida means to sit in tashahud when we're ready to recite at-tahiyyat. That's the position of qaida. So when we're in that position, the last one that comes, for 2-3 rakat prayer, the last one, the 4 rakat prayer, the last one, that's necessary to sit. Now to recite what we recite in that, that will come up in the wajibat. And there's a different ruling for that. But just to sit in that amount where I can recite at-tahiyyat up to ashadu an la ilaha illallah, up to that point, then it's your farz has been completed. What is the ruling of salah? If any of the shara'it arkanimists, I've already said, if any of these are omitted, salah will not be accepted. It will be necessary to repeat the prayer. Ji. Ji, ji. Ji, ji, ji. Ji, ji. This is a good point that when we read the Quran, and this is like, we should keep it in order the way it has been given to us. So Surah Falaq, then Nas, right? If you prayed Nas, then obviously you have to go back to the next surah you remember. Not everyone can start from Alif Lam Mim. They might not know that many surah or that much of the Quran. But in cases where you write Alam Tara Kaifa, now you should read from the end, the next surahs that are coming up towards Surah Nas. Ji. It's makruh to go the other way. Ji. Ji. فیل پڑی جی ہاں ایک سورت کا گیپ دینا بھی علماء نے منع کیا ہے. اگین فرض ادا ہو جاتا ہے, فرض ادا ہو جاتا ہے, لیکن ایسا کرنا نہیں چاہیے. چھوٹا سا وقفہ, پھر 2-3 آیتیں چھوڑ کے پھر آپ دوسرے جمپ کر رہے ہیں. سو اٹس ڈس ریسپیکٹ فل فار دا قرآن. As you say that if you're gonna take that small of a gap, then it's better to just recite ugly surat. And if it's a bigger gap, 2 surahs or more, then we are allowed to do it. So suratul fil se maun ke beech mein ek hi surat hai, to in choti suraton mein ek surat ka wo nahi karna chahiye gap. Ji. After the first, which rakat is the person in? So it'll be different ruling for both. So there's 2 qaidas in 4 rakats. In the first qaida, you're completing your 2 rakats, right? So in that case, if you've stood up, then you should stay standing. Don't go back to the qaida. Theek hai? Because that first qaida was not farz. You missed it. Nisyan ho gaya, bhul gaya. Theek hai? So us surah mein, you're not going back to the qaida. You already stood up. Now, 3rd rakat, 4 rakat. And 4 rakat mein, phir sajda se ho karenge. If it's the last qaida, you stood up, you have to sit down because you're farz. That's why we're going to differentiate between farz and wajib. In wajib, when it's missed, you know that, okay, now sajda sahu is coming, I still have a chance to save my salat. In farz, there's no way. So when you stand up, you're missing the farz, you should sit down immediately. Ji. جی جی قیام کیے بغیر جی جی یس سو وائٹ سو تکبیر تحریمہ کا یہاں پہ چھوٹ رہا ہے تکبیر تحریمہ لائک آئے یس ہاتھ اٹھائے اور پھر رکو کر لیا اگلی چیز رکو کر لی تو تکبیر تحریمہ پوری نہیں ہوئی آپ کی اوکے سو صلاۃ ایسے سمجھیں کہ شروع ہی نہیں ہوئی سو آل آف دیٹ واز ڈن بیسیکلی پرے اگین سو دا ہول صلاۃ ول ناٹ کاؤنٹ اٹ نیور اسٹارٹڈ تکبیر تحریمہ یو نیور میڈ دی تھنگز حرام آن یور سیلف It's like you're still outside of the salat. So after, یہ صرف ٹائم بھی نہیں ہے اس میں یہ ہے کہ ہاتھ بھی باندھنے اس کے بعد کھڑے رہنا ہے تھوڑی دیر علماء کی مختلف اقوال ہیں کتنی دیر کھڑے ہونا ہے لیکن سورہ فاتحہ کی مقدار کسی نے لکھا کسی نے بٹ یو ڈو دا ہول تھنگ سو تھری سبحان اللہ سم ہیو سیڈ دا لیسٹ اماؤنٹ سو وین وی کم ان ناؤ آور آئیڈیا شوڈنٹ بی دیٹ آئی ایم ٹرائنگ ٹو کیچ دا رکعت نو پرابلم اف دا امام گیٹس اپ اینڈ ہی گوز نو پرابلم you can go ahead and stand up and make it but when we run in of course that's a whole different masala running in the masjid is not appropriate either okay so now the imam is going into ruku is fine let him go in ruku okay let him do it and I'm going to make up this the rakat inshallah but if I come in so fast and I go directly into ruku now I have to pray all over again and the reward of the jamaat is also missed right is a bigger ji
so
Yes, if the imam stands, then you can join with him, go in sajda. But if you haven't done takbir tahrima, we shouldn't be worried about joining the imam first. Okay, that's the next step. Yes, you're going to make a one rakat. It depends on what rakat you came in, right? So that's, okay, anything else on this? This happens a lot. That was a good question. This happens a lot. People run in and they join right away. Even our brothers, I mean, we've seen many, many elderly people. So again, we have to give tawajjuh to our salat. These seem like small things, but sometimes the whole salat goes invalid. Okay, aage chale. Phir, are there any situation when it's allowed to break the salat? Now, these are particular exceptions where you have to get out of the salat, right? So when it won't be sinful to do so. Now, if a person just does like his salam and walks away, he's broken his salat, right? But that's a sin to do. What cases it won't be a sin to do? So those are some of the cases mentioned here. And there's an urge to pass urine or stool. This type of situation, if it's happening before we start the salah, then we should not start the salah. It's better to go to istinja because the whole idea of salah is qumu lillahi qanitin. There has to be extreme amount of comfort. You're connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if there's a problem with the stomach, there's a problem with gas, whatever the case is, of course the tawajjuh won't be there. Now, in some cases, you just went to the bathroom, right? And when you're about to do something, ideas are coming that maybe you have to go. So every person can vary on this. If it's just something that comes up, then you should just disregard it. Because sometimes shaitan does that as well. So scholars have said that if it's just, you feel like you have to go, but it's not really there, right? So it will depend on the state of mind of that individual. So in urge to pass, that means that you really have to go and you're saying, no, I don't want to make wudu again. It's too cold. So I'll just quickly pray and go. So now you have a problem there. Now it's going to become makruh. The salat will become makruh. In this case, that's why I said it's permissible to break the salat and then go, do istinja, then come back and pray with comfort. When a harmful creature or animal makes its appearance. Now, in many cases, you'll find of Sahaba ikram, like where a snake came or when a building fell and they were still in salat, right? But that situation, according to Fuqaha Ikram, for us, we should stick to the idea of how our salat is today, right? If there is a snake that comes in front of us in salat, we are not going to be able to keep our tawajjuh. There is hardly anybody who would, we have to be practical about it. So it's a danger to ourselves or anybody behind us in the jamaat. For the family, many ideas can come. It can get to my kid, my wife, whatever. So in that case, it is allowed for a person to save his life. A creature, harmful creature, scorpions, snakes, lions, whatever comes to mind that can harm our lives and makes his appearance, then it's allowed. Other situations, when one fears that they may miss the transportation. Now, this is a case where it's a great inconvenience. You notice at the end it says that it's a big problem to get the next ride. Right, you're waiting for the train, And many times in Jamaat this has happened. The Imam went in Jamaat, they went into sujood, and the Imam Sahib noticed that the train is running, he got up and ran, right? Then the rest people got up and ran. So they know that this train leaves, then it's going to be a headache to get the next train. The whole day can pass, right? That's what it means by great inconvenience. That it means it's a big problem. Okay, it's fine. Now you can get the next one, or within a half hour another car is coming. So finish your salat and take the next one, right? So in missing the transportation, which causes great inconvenience. And this can happen for flights as well. Some flights are non-refundable. You miss it, all that money is going to get wasted. And you're in the musalla or wherever and praying your long nawafil. So in these cases, you see our shariat, it works with our mizaj and what's needed. It's provided to every person. When one fears that their belongings will be stolen, similar case, we understand that, right? It's a harm to our property, harm to our things. And it is important. Now, scholars have even mentioned that when a person puts his shoes and he's praying a salat and somebody's taking it, in that case too, he's allowed to break his salat and save his shoes. Because shoes are a necessity, right? And this happens not here, but in many countries this happens where there's chappal chores, right? One fears that their belongings will be stolen. It is wajib to break one salat to answer the call of a parent or grandparent. Parents and grandparents are under our responsibility. So out of distress, if they're calling out our name, then we have to break our salat and go and help them. Now, if there is a sibling, there is another person there that's taking care of, there's a nurse that's taking care of them. So now if they're just used to calling us, and we know this is a regular, just a shout out to us, then we should finish our salat and go. So we will know that what type of, how extreme the situation is. Rasulullah would miss his mother many times. And he would say that if my mother was alive, it was Isha prayer and she called me, Ya Muhammad, I'll go ahead and break my salat. So we get the idea that the rights of the parents are so great. And if there's nobody else there, then we're the ones that are supposed to be there for them. And in many situations, it can become an emergency, a problem for them. So yes, you are to break, it's wajib. You notice the words wajib there. In the rest of the situations, there's permissibility. Jaiz hai, kar sakte, nahi bhi kare, koi baat nahi. Aapki train chalegi, koi baat nahi. But one second, wajib ye hota hai ke in this case, if he doesn't break it, he's sinful. Right? This is the difference with the other situation and this one, that you're being called out. It's a test on you that your parents are there. What are you giving more importance to? Now, if I would look at my own logic, okay, I'm talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should I? Right? But Allah is the one who gave me the parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that I should do husna khuluq with them, I should take care of them. So I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I don't go. Not just the parents, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I understand that this is necessary. He needs, but if it is something like just normal, I'm in this room, I'm start praying, and my mother doesn't know that I'm praying. Just calling me, and coming, and this is not an outbreak.
Yes, I just said that we know sometimes they're always regularly calling, right? Come here, we want to talk, okay. Yes. Now, see, if it's not distress, if it's not emergency, and if you go there breaking your salat, if they find out, this will hurt them. That, oh, I didn't know you were in salat. Oh, why did you break the salat for me? Right? So when it's not an emergency, you'll see the opposite effect will come in. So we know our parents, it'll come down to the individual that, okay, that call, is it emergency or is it just the regular call that comes every single day or every single in the evening, right? So we can, after 5-7 minutes salat, right? Well, how long do we pray for? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then we can go and take care of them. So both for parents, grandparents, all of that is mentioned. It is farz. Now this case is also very necessary. It's farz to break one salah when someone's life is in danger. A blind person is about to fall somewhere. A person is about to get burned. He's on fire. Any situation that comes to mind with putting somebody's life in danger, then in this case, I should not say that, let me pray my salat and Allah will take care of. In these cases, that we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. If we feel that we're doing something wrong, the Sharia is saying that we should. It's farz. You have to. You're going to do wrong if you don't. Okay. So that's one of the cases where we are. It's necessary for us to break the salat. Yes. Any other questions? Now we can take it out. Ji. Yes, the Jummah 11:30. Now they refer this to one of the saying of Imam Ahmad Rahmatullahi. There are so many conditions he put down for that. And I don't want to say the name of the masjid that are doing this, but we've even reached out to them. Other muftiyan have also told them, and they said they have a parking issue. The parking issue isn't an extreme problem. It's not. So it's better not to pray then. You have your regular jamaat through 2-3, but within the time frame. If it's done before that, and just because there's too many cars coming in, that's not a valid excuse. So for ourselves, we should not opt for that place. Difference. So what you can do is, if you feel that it's a difference, then you can even have 2 or 3 apps. Okay, if you check 2-3 apps and you see there is a small difference, you'll get the idea which way the qibla is, right? We need the idea. It's getting better.
Yeah,
yeah, so that's why if we are connected with scholars, we'll know that what have the scholars unanimously decided, what they have said as a unit. Now this northeast that they are saying, if you try to look at it from a map, you might not understand that how is it going that way, right? So they have decided this so that the ummah is then united in this case. Then there is flexibility, then we should not have... So this is how when scholars put down the northeast and the amount of degrees, this is what they did. Actually, even in Raven, they said that they got a group of scholars and take a stick and go ahead and check exactly on a particular day. They go ahead and check, and then everyone sticks to it. Now, the next day or a few months later, somebody comes up and says, and this is what the brother in Danville was saying, that he did it this way with the stick, and he checked, and he's saying it's coming out differently. So then individual problems again come up. So we have to come down. If we decide that, okay, we're going to do it this way, then there has to be unit, right? Everyone has to come together and say, whatever is decided, when we see from Boston, everyone will follow that. Now, the next day, if I do my own research and say, no, I'm 5 degrees different, I stand different. Again, there's the facade. And any places where facade comes in, you'll see that the Sharia is going to discourage that. Is it clear? Ji? Yes, ji. So it's easier to come to an agreement. Inshallah. Anything else, inshallah? Dua karne, make dua for Khalid Mughal sahib, very sick. And also Nasir sahib, he has open heart surgery. May Allah grant him the shifa, and all the brothers that are sick. Allahumma shfi maradana marad al-muslimin. Allahumma shfi maradana marad al-muslimin. Allahumma la tada'lana maradan la shafaytahu rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa in lam tawfir lana wa tarhamna lanakulanna minal khasirin. Sallallahu ala nabi al-karim wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amin.